Our scripture today comes from two passages in the Psalm, starting first with Psalm 31, 23 through 24, found on page 793 in your pew Bible. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And if you turn the page, we will continue with Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through all my groaning all night, day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and bridle, or they would not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all who are upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Rose, for reading that. This sermon will have four parts. Part one is silent sinners. Part two is reflective saints. Part three is prayerful saints. Part four is saints that speak the good news. But first, a brief introduction. All Saints Day, who are the saints? There they are, the New Orleans Saints, right? You've heard of them. At the end of October, the Protestant churches observe Reformation Day. And then at the beginning of November, the churches celebrate what's called All Saints Day, which brings us to a question: what are saints? Or who are the saints? Sports fans like me might think of the team the Buffalo Bills defeated a few weeks ago, the New Orleans Saints. Or others may think about some sort of like super Christian, a Christian that excelled in good deeds, accomplished great things, and are held in high regard. People like St. Clair or St. Francis of Assisi. If you're Irish, maybe you favor St. Patrick. Or your mind may go to servants of the poor like Mother Teresa. But all these individuals were human beings, just like us. And all of them dealt with sin, just like we do. So allow me to modify our definition of sainthood. A saint is a recipient of God's mercy. So who are the saints? The forgiven ones. Forgiveness is essential because people on earth have to deal with sin. This psalm holds out at least three words that talk about sin: sin, iniquity, and transgression. The three words have different nuances. Missing the mark. God gives us a target of good behavior, and we shoot at the target, but we miss it badly. Trespassing. God gives us these boundary lines of morality, but we cross the line by going way out of bounds. Or rebellion. God gives us these rules, but we rebel against his directions. This goes way back to the early chapters of Genesis, when men and women turn their backs on God. Don't tell me what to do. I know what's best for my life. Saints know that there's a time for every activity under heaven. As Ecclesiastes 3 reminded us wisely, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be silent and a time to speak. Unfortunately, sinners get it backwards. Far too often, they blurt out speech when they should be silent, and they're completely silent when they should be speaking boldly. Take, for example, confession of sin. Sinners are silent to a fault. Their mouths are zipped, locked, closed. Psalm 32 tells us how deadly that can be. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Silent sinners stubbornly refuse the healing medicine of God's mercy. Their refusal proves to be detrimental to the mind, the body, and even to the soul. A friend of mine, Kelly Vanderwoude, wrote a book with this title, The Honesty of the Psalms. In his book, Kelly reflects on Psalm 32 and its author, King David. He writes, "We're not so sure of where David is coming from here, that is, which sin he's speaking of, but many people feel that he's reflecting on the sins of adultery and murder with regards to Bathsheba and her husband. Regardless of where it is we find David, the fact remains that his sin was so heavy. It was so heavy, it was as though he simply could not function. He couldn't get up and walk around. He had no energy to be or do anything. He had relegated himself to simply sitting. There's just no living in this space." He's remembering back to the feelings between the sinful act and the confession, recalling the emotions and the fact that in this space, there was absolutely no quality of life. Have you ever been there? Have you ever experienced that, a place where there's no quality of life? Your quality of life was diminished by the reality of your own imperfection. You missed the mark. You went out of bounds. You rebelled against God, and you felt absolutely miserable. You're weighed down by 2 tons of bricks, a ton of guilt, and a ton of shame. So why would a sinner choose to remain silent? Why would a sinner refuse the joy that comes with God's forgiveness? Maybe it's stubborn pride. I'm just fine. I'll get by. I don't really need God anyway. Lindsay Armstrong writes that the starting point is giving up foolish avoidance of the topic of sin and breaching the silence separating self and God. After all, when we keep silent, the consequences are dire. The psalmist had his strength dry up and wither away like torched grass, browning in the heat of the summer sun. His mouth kept silent, so his body spoke. It wasted away. Likewise, we may exhibit a few extra pounds. We might have knots in our back, higher blood pressure, shorter tempers, or insomnia. But the result is the same. Silence over sin makes us sick. What could it be? Do we misunderstand human nature? We're just fooling ourselves if we think we're pretty good people. No need for me to confess anything. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I try to be nice to absolutely everybody. The bottom line is saints differ from sinners. Saints don't ignore sin by remaining silent. They prepare themselves to speak out. How do saints prepare to speak out? By engaging in a form of self-talk called the examine. In this way, they encounter the man in the mirror or the person in the reflection. In verse 5, the psalmist acknowledges his sin and no longer covers up his iniquity. He's no longer living in denial, as if he had done nothing wrong. He's no longer hiding behind the facade of perfection. He's ready to become authentic and uncover his faults. Samuel Roberts comes to a grip with self-talk. He realizes that there can be no divine forgiveness without a sincere and contrite acknowledgement of sin. Interestingly enough, this psalm suggests that acknowledgement of sin must be done well before confession of sin to God. A self that feels blameless must now counter such a foolish error by coming to grips with the sin within oneself. The notion of a self in critical dialogue with itself is not an exclusively modern idea. Without acknowledgement of the sin to oneself, there can scarcely be any confession of sin to God. So how do we do this? How do we do this man in the mirror routine where we examine our own conscience before God? By taking a hold of the spiritual discipline called examine. Examine is a type of spiritual reflection in which we examine ourselves. We take a good long look in the mirror and strive for honesty. Where am I on this journey of life? Exactly who am I and what have I done? Adele Alberg Calhoun writes about the spiritual disciplines. She describes them as practices that can transform us. Calhoun writes this about the examine. In the examination of consciousness, we become aware. It leads us to listen deeply to the data of our lives. These questions help us pay attention to our mental state, our body response, and even our emotional baggage. Here are a few examples of questions you can ask yourself in both a positive and a negative light. When did I give and receive the most love today? When did I give and receive the least love? Where was I aware of living the fruit of the Spirit? And where was there an absence of the fruit of the Spirit? Or just ask yourself, what could be weighing me down? The Holy Spirit actively points out shortcomings in our lives, not to beat us up and make us feel bad about ourselves, but to lead us gently by the hand to our merciful God. Mercy is desirable for each and every one of us because in the Bible it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Last week, Rose, in her message in the morning, described a present. And the present was up on the screen. It was like shiny gold, but it was left unopened. Sinners leave the gift unopened and say, I don't need that, or that's not for me. But saints gladly receive the gift from God and open up that shiny gold present from our merciful God. The psalm speaks of this opening up to God. David said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Imagine the joy of David's forgiveness. Imagine him light as a feather as he releases the heavy bricks of guilt and shame. Imagine him exceedingly thankful as he recounts his blessings in the early verses of this psalm. Verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Verse 2, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. How does David know about the blessing? He's experienced it firsthand. He's lived this reality. He is the blessed one. He's a saint who has been forgiven by his merciful God. Saint David is the blessed one who has become a beneficiary of God's unfailing love. Now, one thing about this verse that you may be looking at, it says, the spirit in which there is no deceit. What do you think David means when he refers to a person whose spirit has no deceit? Well, deceit is the act of misleading yourself by pretending you're a pretty good person with no sin problem. Deceit distorts the truth or deceives yourself as not being blameworthy, not really owning up to your own issues. Overall, it takes a good bit of humility to be a saint. Humble hearts realize how much they need God. I can't make it on my own. I need God's help. I keep botching things up. I keep saying the wrong things. I keep doing the wrong things. I keep thinking the wrong things. I can't forgive myself. I need God's forgiveness. I need God's mercy. I need God's help. So all these saints that went before, they weren't perfect, but they needed forgiveness, just like you, just like me. An influential theologian, Saint Augustine, loved Psalm 32. He was a witness of God's grace, and he had the words of Psalm 32 inscribed in his bedroom, so that when he woke up from bed, the verses of Psalm 32 were the first things that he saw, reminding him that he was a forgiven saint of God. How beautiful is that? People who exhibit humility don't depend on self-reliance, but fully rely on God for his love, his grace, his mercy. And men and women, they absolutely need to drop down on their knees and pray. That's critical. And they need to trust in a God who hears our prayers. An extremely important part of prayer is the confession of sin. And whenever you come to church on a Sunday morning, we tend to reinforce that through the Lord's Prayer. Part of the Lord's Prayer, what does it say? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or what did we just go through earlier? You know, the confession of sin. It's right there in our bulletins. We prioritize that. We make that part of our regular habit because we absolutely need God's forgiveness. During the prayer of confession, I encourage each one of you to confess sins to God, sins of our thoughts, sins of our words, sins of our actions. And sins could represent something bad that you did, or it could represent something good that you neglected to do. The Spirit calls each one of us to be honest, confessing our sin so that we may rest in God's grace and forgiveness, for he's truly a merciful God. And this bold, this honest prayer requires a good deal of humility. As we go forward, we'll no longer hide our sins from God and also from ourselves. Instead, God becomes our hiding place, the one in which we find refuge and strength. At the end of the day, the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. What a blessing. What an incredible, amazing blessing from God. Forgiven saints, we are the blessed ones. The blessed ones can no longer remain silent, for saints speak the good news when God calls them to do so. Like that guy with the megaphone, right? He's so happy about it, he wants to announce it from the mountaintop. He's no longer crushed by the weight of his sin. He was released from the shackles of his guilt and shame. And in the freedom of forgiveness, he was free to tell other people about the good things that God had done in his life. In verses 8 and 9, he functions as Israel's teacher. He's ready to stride right up to the microphone and instruct a classroom full of students. So David writes, "I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." You know what? He's instructing Israel about honest reflection and truthful confession because it's the pathway toward forgiveness. So he continues in verse 9, "Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you." Good teachers give positive and negative examples. So David wags his finger at them and says, don't be stubborn like a mule. Don't be difficult like a horse, because they need the bit and the bridle to control them. We don't want you to be forced into good behavior. We want you to do so willingly as a spirit-filled response from deep within your heart. Clinton McCann speaks of David's ministry of teaching. The psalmist is speaking in verses 8 and 9 to offer instruction to others. As in Psalm 51, the forgiven sinner teaches God's ways to others. This educational ministry is not presumptuous, for the psalmist witnesses not to his or her own righteousness, but to divine grace, God's willingness, and God's ability to set things right, to set people right. That's the way that you should go. And it points to the psalmist's example of breaking silence to confess sin, and to his conviction of God's willingness to forgive and to restore. Saints who've been forgiven are eager to share their story with others. This good gospel work cannot be limited to professional ministers, for God's word instructs us that Christ himself granted some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Did you hear that? God calls me and God calls Rose to be pastors and teachers, but we're called to equip the saints. We're called to equip you to be the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ, because we're just one or two people and we can't do everything. We can do some things, but God calls us to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So get ready. Get ready to build up the body of Christ, for the Spirit will enable you to share what you've learned with others, so they'll no longer carry around the heavy burden of guilt and shame. So their sin will be covered up by the powerful, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, people of God, listen to these encouraging words from God. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves you, for you are the faithful ones. So be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. In the name of the Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.